Well, Ireland is the only country in Europe that doesn't give legal recognition to transgender people. This is about to change with the Gender Recognition Bill. The bill will give a transgender person the right to marry or enter a civil partnership in their new gender and the right to a new birth certificate. The legislation follows a finding by the High Court in 2007 that Ireland was in breach of the European Convention of Human Rights by failing to provide a transgender woman, Dr. Lydia Foy, with a birth certificate that recognised her new gender. However, the legislation is complex and sensitive, as an Oireachtas committee heard this week. Idel McAllister reports.
In October 2007, after a legal battle that spanned nearly two decades, a transgender woman, Dr. Lydia Foy, emerged from the High Court having finally won the legal right to a new birth certificate under the European Convention of Human Rights.
We were a small but very battered minority, and there was no provision for us, you know, so it's great that the...
Following Dr. Foy's landmark case, draft legislation to allow the transgender community formally reassign their gender has now been published. The Joint Oireachtas Committee on Education and Social Protection heard 2 days of submissions from interested parties. Among the concerns about the Gender Recognition Bill is that it does not include those under 18. Andy Mannion is from the group Belong To.
You spend 5 or 6 years in secondary school, and imagine every single day you're there, you're forced to wear the wrong uniform, for example. I have very close friends, including myself, I've dropped out of school, and I have very close friends who've also dropped out of school and college because of how difficult it is to go through that process.
Consultant endocrinologist Donal O'Shea treats many of those in Ireland who are diagnosed with what's now called gender dysphoria and gave a submission to the committee.
Many of the patients with gender dysphoria who attend our clinic do not actually have contact with other transgender patients or support groups because they want to move forward exclusively in their preferred gender. The issue of age in this legislation is very important from a constitutional point of view, but from a medical point of view, the age that's most important is the age of puberty, which obviously you cannot legislate for. Before puberty, there is a reported 20% desist rate, which is change of mind as the process moves forward. After puberty, this falls to less than 5%.
Lowering the age limit below 18 could be damaging, though, according to David Quinn from the Iona Institute.
If you lower it below 18, then you've got the prospect of, I don't know, five-year-olds who are physically boys or girls, as the case may be, being recognised as being a member of the opposite sex because that's how they feel in their minds, or that's how the parents have judged them to be, that you're physically a boy, but you're really a girl. And a five-year-old boy who's physically a boy will be recognised as a girl. And, you know, we don't have, like, you can't vote till you're 18, you can't drink and drive till you're 18, you can't get married till you're 18, but an enormous decision like that has been made before you're 18. And when your identity... it's still in flux.
However, Catherine Cross of the parents group, Transparency, says giving recognition to those under 18 would improve their life outcomes.
When my son first came to us and said he was transgender, it was a huge shock and we didn't expect to be there at all. This happens on Oprah, this doesn't happen to me. But I thought my son had a problem with mental health because he was down, depressed, withdrawn. And I see that since we have accepted it as a family, the difference that that's made in his demeanour and the confidence, he's doing well at school. So imagine if the state could recognise him.
In the absence of same-sex marriage in Ireland, the legislation is not available to transgender people who are already married. Many transgender people remain married after their transition. Support groups say the legislation will force couples to separate in order to apply for recognition. Sarah Phillips from the Transgender Equality Network.
This situation in relation to marriage is at the point of contract. And at the point of contract, those two people were legally recognised as male and female. And I think for the state to therefore then tell them that they have to break that contract is actually a travesty.
The legislation is being prepared by the Department of Social Protection, who were represented at the Oireachtas Committee by Assistant Secretary Simonetta Ryan. Many members, including Deputy Angus O'Snodhig and Senator Avril Power, asked about the legal implications of excluding married transgender people.
there's a chance legally that if a couple has survived the process of transition, they're happy to stay together, they want to stay together, there's actually a very good chance that a court might decide that they don't satisfy the criteria for divorce because they couldn't be considered to be totally irreconcilable. These are people who actually want to stay together and keep their family together. So I think that's a risk. But if indeed, you know, divorce does apply and that's not an issue and people are able to get a divorce, I still think it's really problematic to force a family to split up. The spokesperson Simonetta Ryan from the department said that you referred just briefly to the constitutional context as the reason for that requirement. I'd like to have more details on that.
In relation to marriage, you know, we do accept that that is a difficult issue and there are very serious constitutional issues there and also issues vis-a-vis the European Convention on Human Rights, but it's not something that we can resolve in the legislation. I think that, as you possibly know, Senator, I couldn't obviously give you a copy of or divulge advice that we would have from the Attorney General. I wouldn't be permitted to do that. But I think that the whole area of the discussion of the Constitution and the position of marriage within the Constitution and same-sex marriage specifically, that's all a matter for the Department of Justice rather than ourselves. But if that is to change in the future, then it obviously will allow us an opportunity to deal with the outcome of that in this legislation.
Although a referendum on same-sex marriage is now expected, Labour Deputy Aidan O'Riordan said the legislation can't be linked to the outcome. He also raised the fact that the legislation excludes transgender people from some competitive sports.
And the fact that we would have to wait for a referendum on marriage equality, which could, as Sarah quite rightly says, be accepted or rejected, is, I think, it's a constitutional nonsense. And finally, and maybe it's a minor point in the legislation, but I think the piece about sport is bordering on bizarre. I mean, who are we as a legislative body to tell sporting organisations or to recommend who or who can't play what sport?
While this only affects a small number of people, consultant endocrinologist Donal O'Shea explained how it could become problematic.
I have been involved in the International Rugby Board Committee on gender dysphoria in the year running up to the Women's Rugby World Cup, where there were significant concerns about individuals who transitioned from the male to female role running out as 6'10" second rows on international teams. And the sporting organisations are agitated about this. They need to have a position on it. And then I suppose what this heads of bill is addressing is whether that should be a constitutional entitlement for the sporting boards or just left up to the sporting boards, I guess. But it's a real issue.
The bill requires applicants to sign a statutory declaration that they intend to live permanently in the new gender and validation by their doctor that the person has transitioned or is transitioning to the acquired gender. Some transgender groups feel a doctor's intervention should not be required. The legislation doesn't specify that surgery has to take place. David Quinn of the Iona Institute says the implications of the bill are far-reaching.
Well, I mean, I think the public needs to understand that the legislation here will, for the first time in Irish law, permit somebody who is physically male, we'll say, in every single way, to be officially recognised as a woman in Irish law. So they will be anatomically a man in every respect. They will have male genitalia and so on. But the state will say this person, officially in the eyes of the state, as a woman. In all their official documents, so far as I understand, going back to their birth cert, and I'm not sure that the state actually should be going down this road at all. I think this should be dealt with at a therapeutic level. It should be dealt with at an individual level. If a person wants to live as a woman or a man, no matter what their biological sex, that's obviously completely up to them. But I think the state, by and large, should stay out of the arena completely.
At present, Ireland is the only European country that has no provision for legal recognition of transgender persons. It may be some time yet before Dr. Lydia Foy receives the new birth certificate she has fought for 20 years.